When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The court in Moscow says that all four of these detained suspects are citizens of Tajikistan, the ex-Soviet republic. They appeared to be badly beaten prior to that appearance in court. One of them had a major bandage over his ear following Russian media reports that his interrogators might have cut off part of his ear. Another one was wheeled into court in a wheelchair, kept his eyes closed throughout those proceedings. And this is the first time that we have seen these suspects in court since Friday's attack on that concert in Moscow, where camouflaged gunmen stormed in, killing now 137 people, nearly 100 still believed to be in the hospital, in what is the most deadly attack on Russian soil in many years. Now, ISIS, the Islamic State group, has claimed responsibility for this attack. But so far, we have not heard the Russian government say whether they believe that claim of responsibility from ISIS. In fact, President Putin has seemed to try to link this attack to Ukraine, which is raising major concerns about whether he might use this as a pretext to expand his war in Ukraine. The White House, meanwhile, says Ukraine had nothing to do with this. This was a complete ISIS attack on Russian soil.
Happy Wednesday, happy hump day. Welcome to the Wayne Dupree Show, along with the Godfather of Conservative Radio, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Hello there, Wayne and Jason. I just think that we ought to, that loop ought to play through the whole show in the background.
I think so too. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I you know what? I ain't joking.
I know.
I know you ain't joking. That man. You know what we need to do? We need to create a nighttime show. That's what we need to do. We need to create a Wolfman Jack type of nighttime. Many of y'all don't know Wolfman Jack, but we do.
Hey, baby, that's what I'm talking about.
It's the daddy of the radio.
Cold War Radio?
The platter pushing papa.
I was going to say, I think that's just Cold War Radio.
The daddy of the radio.
Wolfman Jack.
Keep your head down in your eyes toward the stars, baby. Oh,
we got a show for you tonight.
Oh, man. And then we got Imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robinson.
Happy hump day, Wayne Hutch. Lots going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's wild. Hey, folks, make sure you like, comment, and share. Help us beat the big tech algorithm.
Are you going to the ceremony, Wayne? Did they invite you?
Down what? At Key Bridge?
Yeah, down at the at the bridge. They're renaming it. It's the Victoria Nuland Bridge.
I thought it was going to be called George Floyd Bridge, but we can go with Victoria Nuland.
You mean the CCP led George Floyd protest bridge? Is that what you're talking about? Listen,
I'm talking about the Victoria Nuland who caused them to do it bridge.
You know,
totally wasn't cyber attack. Totally no. wasn't.
Well, you know it was. You know it wasn't because the FBI said it wasn't.
Right.
Came out quickly, didn't
he? In like 5 minutes.
And they said there's no need for us to really investigate this. The federal government will just pay for it.
No indication of terrorism whatsoever.
And now we're hearing some of the reports are saying, well, you know, it's just a little chink in the chain. It's really not going to do anything.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's like... That's I'll tell you what, guys, and I've traveled all over the place, but one of the things that opened my eyes, I mean, it took like 40 years for this to happen. I went to Baltimore one time. I went to a long school at Aberdeen, Maryland.
Oh yeah.
And I had my weekends off, and my wife and I went to see some Baltimore Oriole games, and there's a casino down there. I had the best crab cakes of my life.
Yep.
But man, when you go to that port and you're just from Pittsburgh, it's like you're looking up at them ships going, holy, what is that?
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a country.
Yeah. It's a sight. It's a sight. Yeah.
That shocked me, man. Right. That blew me away. I looked at how big that ship was, man. It's like, my God, I always thought there were ships, but I didn't expect that.
Those are,
you know what, Jim? When the sun came up and everybody got their videos and stuff and everything, look at that ship looked like it was bigger than the bridge itself. I'm gonna tell you the truth.
Can you see the bridge in the water?
Yeah.
You can see underneath the water?
Well, no. You can see, I thought it was deeper.
Does it look like it all sank?
Parts of it are still above ground.
Okay.
Parts of it still ground and some people are saying, well, I didn't hear nothing about the workers. Well, they're still going back to look for the six people. They say it was six or seven. They're still going to look for them. Ecuador, Guatemalan, and Mexico. I'm not lying.
They were workers.
Yep.
Yeah, they were doing potholes on the bridge.
Yep. Ecuadorian, Guatemalan, and Mexican.
You know,
there was police scanner that was released where they got warning just in time to make sure there's no cars on the bridge.
Which was that there, and they're making that out to be a conspiracy thing. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
The ship issued a mayday. And that's what they reacted to, I'm guessing.
But it gets me that because most of the people, 95% of the people that we have seen or that have given analysis and looked at it, like, why did you steer toward that thing? You could have kept on going. You could have kept on going under.
That's why I asked about the current right away.
Right.
Because what's pushing that thing to go so fast like that? I mean, because the other thing about those big ships is when you look at them, they don't even look like they're moving.
Right. Yeah, you got to watch it in like 8 times or 10 times speed and you can see all the motion and you're like, ooh, yeah, that thing takes a hard right turn.
It takes a hard right turn. And I've even heard people say, why didn't it drop anchor? You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said last night.
Yeah, exactly.
To my wife. And she had a conversation with some people. And really, I mean, an anchor stopping that big, that was 110,000 tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, the anchor wouldn't have worked.
It'd have broke your neck if you were on the ship.
On the ship, yeah.
If it caught. I mean, they don't catch right away. Anchors, no. They got to drag a little bit till those teeth get into something.
Yeah.
I just get a kick out of how clearly there was some sort of mechanical disruption on the ship. And before you even have anybody from the U.S. government set foot on the ship, they declare, everything's clear.
I know. And, you know, they really, here's the thing. I was thinking about this hard, too. We're winning, man. I mean, it's going to be ugly. It's not over yet. We got some pain to deal with. But I saw a couple articles, and it expressed my exact feeling. Americans are losing trust in our experts, and the experts don't even know why. Yeah. And that's what I meant when I said about the intelligence community the other day, when they're not even that good anymore. Our best and brightest are DEI experts.
Yep.
Across the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is ridiculous.
We have seen that DEI for years, and I'm not even talking about color.
I'm not either.
We had we have people that are in well, you can even add
in the highest highest DEI problem that we have is our college educated class. They are the worst of this country. Never hire one of them.
They're privileged too. I mean, you know, they
and they're not that smart. Talk to them.
They aren't that smart. They don't know civics. But when you start, I remember a few years ago, and I think it was under Barack Obama. It might have been under Barack Obama, or it could have been the early part under Trump. But Fox News was starting to bring on influencers rather than their journalists. And the influencers don't know anything. I mean, I'm serious. They don't. Influencers only know what their heart tell them and their emotional minds.
And this much time stamp.
Exactly.
The 90s is as far back as their head goes, if it even goes that far.
If it goes back further, they might need a lobotomy or something like that. But I mean, when you look at back to Fox. Fox News was bringing on influencers, and the journalists start quitting. The journalists started to quit because they saw that their jobs were being overtaken by individuals that were not flying by legit journalism, but flying on the seat of their pants by emotional responses. And emotional responses not only replace journalism, it replaced news network. So now you have CNN, MSNBC, Fox News bringing on influencer hosts for a day or a week, and these people are kind of, can you believe it? I felt that you ain't supposed to be talking about. I felt.
I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. The Trump won. I don't know what. What am I going to do? How about reporting? Trump won.
Exactly. And everybody's talking about the Rona McDaniel situation with MSNBC and stuff. It didn't just start with Rona, people. A couple years ago, I don't even think it was maybe a year and a half ago, CNN got rid of their guy, the CEO. Because the CEO was firing people, Don Lemon and all those people, because he was trying to make a change. Even Donald Trump was like, hey, bring me on and we'll increase the ratings. We call it a circus. And the CNN circus, the employees got mad and wanted to get rid of the CEO.
It's a temper tantrum. It's like our whole country. The kids are running the country.
Yeah.
Look at New York, in the streets of New York City. The kids will knock you out. You lived your whole life. You know, you're a member of society, and you walk down the street and some moron little kid busts you in the mouth for no reason or pushes you in front of the tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. And
we're losing our humanity.
You know, I think about when I see those videos or when I hear those stories, even when I see those dramatizations of crime where the young people are beating up the old people. The first thing that I think of when I see that stuff is how these old people lived their life all these years. Marriages, summers, Christmases.
Military tours.
Easters, military tours. Just living out their life. And then their last days, they're beat to hell by a young kid trying to get a couple of dollars out of their wallet. Or they're jumped, you know, and they had their arm broken. So I remember my grandma and grandfather. We didn't live up here in Baltimore at the time. This was in the early 80s. They're walking home from church. Now, this is your grandma and your granddad. You walk home from church, you walk to church, you walk to school and stuff. That's what people used to do.
Half the people in the city didn't even have cars.
Right.
Take the bus or just walk.
I grew up without a car.
And what they used to have in the cities before the cities turned to crap in the median, they used to have little trees. It looked nice. The city looked nice. They had trees. The stuff was the trash picked up. They had
Christmas decorations, Easter decorations.
Exactly.
The government used to do that.
Exactly. It looked great. But going back to my grandma and granddad, they're walking home from we heard it because they called us and told my mom, but they were mugged a block from where they live. They were walking home from church.
A lot of that you can attribute to heroin.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so
they used to teach about heroin in school. I remember in health class getting taught about it, how you do it one time and that's your life.
Yeah.
This is your brain on drugs.
Scared the hell out of us. I don't know anybody that did heroin in my group. And we weren't good kids either, but none of us did heroin.
Right. Heroin was like the hard no.
Yeah. I mean, I thank God for my mom and dad because I have never been on drugs, never used drugs. And I was never approached about using drugs.
Well, you're a lucky guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I
remember walking to school.
And church kept me.
Those little glass vials were on the ground from all the Vietnam vets that came back. Those guys were freaking scary.
The Vietnam vets, I'm not going to say it was their fault, though.
No, it was an act of war by the North.
But the way they were treated.
Oh, yeah.
Pushed a whole lot into doing because many of them felt that they were fighting a war not for the country, but for the government people. That's number one. And then they felt that they were hung out to dry.
They were.
By the U.S. government. And it just left a lot of men broken, especially with the stuff that they saw over there. So,
and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese introduced 98% pure heroin to the GIs over there for $1. And then they got home, and it's 5% heroin for $50. And that's why your grandparents got mugged.
Yeah. Yeah. And over there was pure. Over here was cut with nasty stuff.
Cut hard. Added.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That was a beautiful war maneuver. That's unrestricted warfare, by the way.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And then we see stuff like what's happening in Baltimore on the streets and Minnesota.
Every city.
Every major city.
Minnesota's so bad that, well, you can kind of give a little bit more breakdown of it, Jay. But that big gigantic mall up there. I think I would be afraid to go to that mall, the Mall of America. Is that what they call it?
Oh yeah, it used to be the biggest mall in the world, and I was. Let's reach it back.
Oh my God,
that's just the elevator in the mall.
God, it's back.
You know what? You know what? That right there is going to be. Across America. I'm telling you, it is.
Hey, did you see in London? The Pakistani flag is flying over whatever the freaking building is in London, the government building, because it's Ramadan. The green Pakistani flag is flying over it. The article was entitled Conquered.
Oh,
I got to say, the whole mall. The whole immigrants, big city thing is really produces fascinating things in Minnesota. So like the Somalis who really don't like the LGBTQIA stuff, they really don't. I mean, in their home country, if you're LGBTQ, bad things happen to you. And so in the schools, you'll have, they'll go to try to teach this and then the Somalis will protest. And then what do they do? Do we cave to the Somalis or cave to the LGBTQIAs? And Todd, who used to be a principal, he said at one point it was kind of funny. He had a teacher and the Somali kid was talking about his two moms. And so she's like, this is great. We got a gay couple coming in. And then when they showed up, it was the dude and his two wives. Like, okay, well, what do I do now? Like, you know, two wives. Awesome. It was,
And aren't the black Americans like fighting with the Somali Americans?
Yes, they are.
Not Somali Americans, the freaking Somalis.
Yeah, the yeah. Somalis, they I mean,
I'm gonna vote for our guys on that one.
Right. Yeah, the inner city black people who are American citizens, have been here forever, whatnot. Yeah, they do like the Somalis, it's its own culture. They're Arabic, they speak their language, like my type's not allowed in their part of the city. It's yeah, and a lot of times they end up in really urban areas. So it's like the black neighborhood and the Somali neighborhood, and yeah, they don't get along.
Let me I don't wanna forget our voicemail. Yeah, voicemail, because we've asked so many to call in, and I don't believe me, people are calling in. So let me play a couple of these today. This is Pam.
Wayne and gentlemen, first I want to say you guys are true patriots in this constitutional republic, which is not a democracy. What I wanted to bring up and see if you guys could look into this and maybe talk about it is the it's the America Invents Act that was passed during Barack Obama, which basically took away all of the rights and all of the protections of a patent in the United States. I bet you didn't know that. But if a large company wants to come and take your patent or infringe upon it and then take that away from you, they certainly can. There are hundreds and thousands, in fact, of inventors and people who are small inventors who have one, two, maybe three patents who have had their patents stolen by big companies. And you have to go and sit in front of what's called the PTAB, which is the Patent Trial and Appeals Board, which basically 85 or more percent of all of the cases that go in front of them, the people who have put in all of their blood, sweat, and tears and years of work lose their patent. Now, if we lose our patent, guess what happens? Somebody has to fill the void. And guess who's filling the void that Barack Obama created? China. The strongest patent in the world is China. U.S. Inventor, USI, or usinventor.org, is the place where you can actually have your voice heard, and we can fight against this and actually get bills passed to make America great again. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you guys have a great day. God bless you. God love you. Bye-bye.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's. Thank you for enlightening us on that. I didn't know anything about it, but
I'll comment a little bit on it. It's okay. It's the choice between two evils, because it didn't start with Obama. Now, maybe the Chinese part did. Mm-hmm. I would guess it probably had its roots back in Clinton. But the Chinese part might be different. But American companies have been doing that to American citizens for years.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's even some movies about it. The guy that invented the delayed windshield wiper switch. I mean, that got snatched right off of him.
Oh, yeah.
And there's whole cars. I forget the name of the car. The Tucker? Was it the Tucker? There was some other car, and they got wiped out by the big three. It's called oligarchy. When the government and business works together, that's what you get. You get bought off politicians that bring out bills like that. But his idea is a good one. If this is how we can fight it, we need to.
Yeah, I think as we talk about a lot of the threats to Americans, one thing we don't talk enough about is the corporate control of America. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, you know, talking to a Democrat friend of mine, I said, the Democrats had it right. Republicans are owned by big business and big corporations.
So are the Democrats.
Now the Democrats are, and the Democrats aren't seeing it. Because for years, like, that was the refrain in the 80s and 90s. Like, oh, Republicans are owned by big business.
You know, it was a fraud, though. They were always, the Democrats were always owned. That was just to fool us little people.
Right.
And we were
totally fooled.
Yeah.
It took me 24 hours to put that Victoria Nuland thing together in my head. I'm still brainwashed.
Well, and think about how those big corporations control even your news media. Because Pfizer and all the drug manufacturers, they are the ones who pay for your news media through advertising. And we talk about suppression and why don't they monetize when we talk about certain things. It's because the advertisers, which are these big corporations, the big food producers, go down the list.
Did we talk about that? About how, especially the drug companies, but other companies as well, they throw these ridiculous ads out there that the media plays every 15 minutes, and they don't even care if anybody watches them. They're just buying off the media by doing that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, why are we not getting a lot of news coverage about, let's pick something like food quality. We've talked about that on the show.
They're killing
us. Quality's terrible. There's about four major food producers in any bucket. The stuff, if you look, like the rate of autism and all that stuff that probably ties back to food or medication or that kind of thing. But you can't even talk about it. Nobody gets paid any money to study it.
You go down the street, and I'm an exception because I had an operation that doesn't allow me to get overweight. But you look down the street, you look at any 50-year-old American man, any of them.
Yep.
And they're not lean and mean.
Right.
Some of them are bigger than others and things like that. But you look back, I had a warrant officer back in the 90s that was 62 years old back then. Mm-hmm. And he showed me a picture of his class. And there was nobody overweight in the entire class because we had a different lifestyle.
Well, better
food.
Yeah, and that also. Well, was that before the pyramid? Because a lot of people complain about that pyramid
now. I followed it.
The pyramid?
Yeah, and now, especially now, I was going down. I saw a thing on Twitter that showed a picture of like Fruit Loops and a picture of Fruit Loops from Germany, and showed the ingredients. And ours had 20 more ingredients, and they all came out of the chemistry lab.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, I was at the store yesterday, and I love cereal. I haven't eaten cereal in 6 months.
I stopped. I love cereal.
I walked, you know what I bought? I bought a freaking box of Grape Nuts.
I used to eat that.
Felt like a heroin junkie eating that, I bet.
You know what? They're supposed to be kind of safe.
Banana Nut Crunch is my thing.
Banana Honey Nut Cheerios, crunch. Greatest cereal ever.
Yeah.
I like my Cheerios back in the day. Yeah. See, my mom used to torture us, man.
Yeah.
She'd think that we weren't, we couldn't get the Frosted Flakes and whatnot. So she'd throw the cornflakes up there and we'd look around, grab that sugar dish, put all that sugar on. And then at the end, when it was just milk and sugar.
It was like syrup.
All that sugar at the bottom, man. You're like,
I don't know why we're all diabetics anymore. It's a mystery.
It's like this is why you have these people. You got a big drug guy in charge of the FDA.
Right.
It's right in front of our face. They're killing us.
Yeah. I go back to think about cornflakes, how you fill the whole thing up with cornflakes, and then my dad was smart, though. He used to put the cornflakes, he used to crunch them up first. He used to crunch them up. And so now you got a bigger bowl of crunched up flakes, right? And then he sprinkled that sugar on top. But the sugar really wasn't going on the flakes. It was going through the little cracks all over the bottom.
It's on the bottom, baby.
But in your head, that sugar is on the flakes and we eating frosted flakes and stuff. No, that sugar went right down to the bottom. Man,
when that Captain Crunch came out, it was like, yes. clogged up in your teeth and everything.
Man, I used to wonder. Captain Crunch was my gracious. I remember the first day. I'm eating Captain Crunch.
What's these little red crunch berries? Oh.
Can't look. Count Chocula? What?
Man, we grew up with some great innovations, man. I started out with Raisin Bran and ended up with Frankenberry, whatever that stuff was
called. Frankenberry.
Frankenberry, baby.
But I think the one that, Wheaties was okay, but it was like like
needed sugar.
Yeah, and plus like cornflakes on steroids because it's so like 3 or 4 inches deep on
fiber. That fiber flake.
But the one cereal that I loved back in the day was S'mores.
I never tried
S'mores.
S'mores. It had your
marshmallows.
Small graham crackers pieces. And then you had your really tiny marshmallows dehydrated, but when you put them in water, they kind of expanded a little bit. And then you had, I don't know how the chocolate came in there or whatnot, but when you put it all together back then, oh man, that was a bowl of sugar, but it was great. You know, I mean, it was super great.
You know, one of the most worthless cereals that there ever was, but I still liked it.
Honeycomb.
Kix.
Kix.
Had zero flavor, but I still liked them.
Kid tested, mother approved.
I was going to try that one day because I was sick of all the cereal that's out there today. So I saw Kix. I was like, I wonder if I got a thing of Kix. I wonder if it tastes like peanut butter.
General Mills is loving this episode.
Right.
Send a check.
Yeah.
I'll eat cereal right in front of you.
Man, I used to love cereal. My mom would bring it home in the morning, and it like 3/4 of the box would be gone by the end of the day.
That's the way we were too. That and as the day went on, the canned soup went too.
Oh well,
because that was easy to make.
Bread for me went out quick.
You know what I saw at the store one time? You know the area where they have the candy that you buy by the pound?
Yeah,
they had like the marshmallows that were in Lucky Charms just by themselves, just in a bin. I was like, wow, that's different.
With all the colors on it and stuff like that?
They changed that up too. You notice all the new colors and whatnot?
I know. Yeah. LGBT like tape.
They got rainbow colors.
Yeah. It's like real rainbow.
They'll pollute the cereal pretty soon. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I got a pizza shop down the road that I can't go to because it's got a big sign in front of it that says support trans kids. I'm like, I don't want, I call it tranny pizza now. Let me get a large
trans kid. There are parents that are mentally deluded.
They should be in prison. That's how you protect trans kids. Get me a large pizza with penicillin.
Right.
It just doesn't mix, man. You don't mix that kind of stuff with food, man.
Yeah. That, you know, that my.
I'm glad we entertained the audience.
I was going to say the chat with their cereal talk is phenomenal. Juanita said she used to buy those marshmallows for her kids and put them in the healthier cereals. Now that is the grandma you need.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's the grandpa I'm going
to
be.
Hey, you want to know what my grandmother used to make me that I remember that had to probably be terrible for you? She used to take a hot dog. And she used to cut it long ways, so it's too long.
And fry it.
And she used to fry it in butter.
Yep.
And then she used to take the bun, and she used to toast the bun, grill the bun in butter.
All right.
Yep. That was the best freaking, oh, my God, was that good.
Yep. And actually, you can do that with an air fryer now. I don't know how many people have did it, but if.
Butter's good for you too, by the way. That was BS research.
Yeah, if you put that bun in the air fryer, well, actually, you do your hot dog first.
Yeah,
put it on 400 for about maybe 5-6 minutes. No, put it on 400 for about 7 minutes. When it gets to about 5 minutes, put your bun in there. At 7 minutes, not only do you have your fried type of hot dog, but you got a crispy bun on the same thing.
Man, I had ravioli the other night, and I had a loaf of French bread. Mm-hmm. For the young people out there, that's called a baguette. We call it French bread.
Yeah,
sliced it up and put some garlic spread on there.
Ooh.
And put them in the air fryer for 5 minutes. Man, were those good.
You know what? I take Italian bread.
Ooh, slice that's what it, I wanted. They didn't have any.
I get this garlic butter, spread it on top, put it in the air fryer for about 5 minutes on 400, toast the bread, take it out, put shredded mozzarella on top, with well, actually pizza sauce, shredded mozzarella, and then pepperoni or turkey pepperoni on top of that. Put it back in for about another 3 minutes. That's the best tasting pizza that you
sounds
can
good.
Make. Sounds and good. If you don't want to go to Italian bread portion, you can go Nan today. Nan is the same thing.
Or that Boboli, you could use a thin pre-made crust. It's kind of like Nan.
I was going to say, this is a problem for today's show. Usually the food comes up in the third half hour when we're getting ready to wrap. We started food early, and I'm sitting here with my stomach grumbling going, oh, man. Boy, he plays a commercial today. I might need to go grab a snack.
I don't know where this came from, but it's pretty. I like doing it. We got any more. I like life, too.
You know what?
Life cereal's good. Got that flavor to it.
Mikey likes
cinnamon
it.
Cinnamon Life.
Cinnamon Life.
That's exactly. Good, too. That's
cinnamon good Life is better than, to me, Cinnamon Life is better than Life.
Did you ever have cinnamon toast?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like in the oven. I mean, that's the way my mom made it. She put
bread. We used to get it in school.
She put butter and then a little bit of sugar and a little bit of cinnamon and put cinnamon that sucker, put that in the oven, man.
Let me tell you something. Mm. I perfected that at a young age because that's what we used to get in school was a cinnamon toast. So what I learned at home was I get the bread, I spread that butter on there. Then I used to get a container, put sugar in it, put cinnamon in it, and then put some nutmeg in it and stir it all around and then just sprinkle it on, just sprinkle on that thing. Man, I was eating like six pieces of cinnamon toast.
That's the bad part about it. It's like a BLT, man. You can't order a BLT if you're hungry, man. I got to have four of them.
Right.
Oh, my gracious. Oh, man. I knew I was running up to electric bill at that time because, man, Life cereal, and then you had honeycomb back then had a nice taste too. It did. It was
never,
and they all had the coolest commercials.
Yeah,
you didn't have to watch the commercial about the vaginal mesh. You know, you just had the Captain Crunch commercials and the ham. Remember the Hamburglar?
Oh,
Robert. Robert. We'll get back into news in just a second. I had been married a few months, and the ex-wife had gone out to get some cereal, and I wanted some Super Sugar Crisp. I wanted some it came in like the gold box, but it was Super Sugar Crisp. She called back one time. They don't have that, but well, I mean, I don't see that, but I see Sugar Smacks. I said, nope. It has to be Super Sugar Crisp, not Sugar Smack. Super Sugar Crisp got Honey Bear. The other one got the frog. I don't want that.
I want that one.
And they both stick together.
One of them was like, to this day, that's probably the closest cereal that tastes like the 80s is Super Sugar Crisp.
You remember the one that I don't even know if it's out there anymore. You remember Puffed Rice?
Oh yeah,
my mom used to eat that.
Again,
you used to pull the sugar on
it. Sugar on it, it tastes all right.
No, I don't.
It's like eating styrofoam.
Right. It's got to be good for you, right?
Rice. I did like the Rice Chex.
Rice Chex
were good. The white ones.
Crispix. Somebody in the chat was talking about. They were talking about putting chocolate syrup on Crispix. So I'm like, that's aggressive.
Whoa.
Messed up last night. I had some onion soup I made.
Okay.
And I figured I'm going to do some French onion soup. And I asked my wife, what kind of cheese they put on that? Because I wasn't really sure. I had a bunch of Swiss cheese. I put two pieces of Swiss cheese in it. They sunk right to the bottom. Like the sugar on the bottom of the cereal bowl. That's the way the Swiss cheese was in the bottom of the onion soup.
I bet it still tasted good.
It wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah. Fruity Pebbles. Yeah.
Or
Fruity
Cocoa Pebbles. Bubbles. Cocoa Pebbles. And you got chocolate milk at the end.
That's right.
I didn't eat it. I just sit there and stir it around. until they were all light brown, and then I ate them.
Right.
And then I drank the chocolate milk.
Yeah. But before Fruity Pebbles, it was Count Chocula that brought the chocolate milk, y'all. So, I mean.
That's true. You know. and Frankenberry brought the strawberry milk.
Yep, exactly. Terry Bowman said it is Swiss cheese.
Why didn't it float then?
Was it hot enough?
Float. You put it on top of the crock, and actually, it depends on where you go. It's usually a white cheese. Where I'm at, it's usually provolone.
That's what I was thinking. It's provolone.
Yeah, but I've seen it with Swiss and other white cheeses. But usually, what you got to do is you put it in the crock, and then you lay the cheese over the top and then cook the crock, and because it doesn't really like float, it's just the edge of the bowl holds it.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah,
that was a big bowl too. That's always in a small cup type bowl now that I think about it.
Right, yeah. And if you do it in the real spot, they take that really rich French onion soup, it's one of my favorite soups, and then you drop the cheese over it, and then it gets kind of cooked on the edges on the crock. And it's
I don't like cream of wheat. I hate cream of wheat.
I don't like it either.
I hate it.
I like oatmeal.
I like oatmeal too.
And we can't end this segment without a moment of silence for Quake, because Quisp made it, and Quake, you never seen him again. You guys are looking at me like you don't remember Quisp and Quake.
No.
What was that? Look it up, Wayne. You'll see it. It's out there. Quisp.
Quisp and Cake.
And Quake. Huh. Little flying saucers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That looked like I've seen that before.
They're little bowls. They look like little flying saucers on the Quisp. And Quake was like
Cheerios
with muscles.
Oh.
But they were made out of the Captain Crunch material.
You know, it just looked like Special K.
That was some nasty cereal.
Yeah, it is nasty. They had Twinkie cereal.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. Let me get to another phone call.
Hi, Hutch, Wayne, J. Rob. My name is Dan. I'm calling from North Texas, and I'm more calling about a concern and a worry. I'm just wondering, being that you and Hutch were in the military, do you think that this, what do you think will happen if Trump doesn't win? I'm just very, very concerned about any kind of war or bloodshed, because I think that's what they want. And I'm also concerned that they are going to come after my firearm, in which case I have to defend myself. I'm an older lady and I need that thing because I get off at night. But I know no one knows the future, but if you guys can give me any thoughts, if you've even thought about it, I'm just kind of scared. Thank you for your service, and thank you, J-Rob, for all your information too. Bye.
Well, number one, we don't want you to be scared. But I understand. And a lot of Americans are afraid because they can't trust their government anymore. And like Hutch and Jerry said, can't trust these experts anymore either, because these people don't know anything. Most of the people are flying off at the seat of their pants, or flying on the edge of their seats and making emotional decisions instead of logic and common sense things that used to win wars. We've been losing a whole lot. We've been losing a lot, and we've been actually the people at the top have been causing situations for us to lose. I don't know whether it's on purpose or not, but we've been losing because of the situations that they have put us in. So, I mean, honestly, I really don't think that they're going to take anybody's guns. I know the narrative is out there. It's just hard for me to believe that law-abiding citizens are going to give up their guns. Most importantly, when I hear people talk about it, they're like, yeah, all right, yeah, come and get them. The front door is open. Come on. Come on, take my guns. You big and bad, come on. Now, you know, I understand if they roll up there with the National Guard through the street, people might give up their guns.
I think I heard a thing that said about 3 or 4% would resist. Everybody else would give them up.
Mm.
And when you look in Connecticut, they had a long gun ban an AR-15 ban, and people were in line to turn them in.
Well, Hutch, if that's the case, if it's just 3 or 4%, we're done.
No, we're not. 3% won the American Revolution. 3%'s enough. There's something like 700 million guns out there. Take 3% of that.
I was going to say just to weigh in, I mean, one, we're going to see where they're going to continue to go after our guns, because to zoom out in history, our founding fathers wanted a small federal government so that power couldn't be consolidated and corrupted. Because if you look in Europe, that's why all these nations fell. You had consolidated power that got corrupted by a royal family or a bad king or whatever. And they're like, we want decentralized power. And over our lifetime, in the last 100 years, there's been continuing centralized power, and that power is influenced by money. So go through all the corporations or the communists, and the communists love consolidated power because all you got to do is corrupt, 100 people instead of all these little buckets. But I think where things get really interesting in the nation is when Trump wins, not if Trump loses, because Trump will fight back against that centralized
power. We have to. That's the key.
Right.
Governor Youngkin, and I am no fan of Governor Youngkin. He just vetoed a ton of gun control laws
right.
in Virginia. There was a bunch of them that were out there that were really threatening, and he knocked them all down. We got to keep fighting, because think of this. Think of Peter Navarro in a federal prison in Miami. Think of all the people in January 6th, 2021, that are still in prison to this day. Yeah. Look how these monsters treat their citizens when we do have guns. Think how they'll treat us when we don't. Just chew on that a little bit.
Well, and think of how fast it's going. I mean, the Peter Navarro case, we haven't talked about it a ton, which, by the way, on Twitter, like, you can get his address, send him a letter in jail, which is kind of cool. But, I mean, he is literally a political prisoner. He evoked executive privilege. He did not want to testify in front of the January 6th committee, which we've seen happen over and over where people don't want to testify on stuff. January 6th committee was awful. He's in federal prison for 4 months. Like, that is straight up locking up your political opponents. And the fans on the left are great with it because they don't care if they need to destroy democracy to save democracy. They've been completely brainwashed. And this populist movement, aside from Trump, average citizens don't trust their government.
It's not just here. This is happening all across Europe.
The world.
I'm going to do it. It's happening in all the countries where white people live.
Yep.
It just is.
Let me ask you a question then, because I've been kind of wondering about a certain thing too. When it comes to the gun situation, and we have law-abiding citizens that are out there, and they'll tell you straight up, I'm not giving up my gun. I know you said that they're like 3% probably wouldn't. I think it's more.
I hope it's more.
Yeah, I would.
That was somebody else's opinion. I mean, I read that.
Right.
But I think a lot would give them up.
But the Democrats would really have to be in charge of Congress to have a supermajority.
For them to do that, I don't.
They're already picking it off in states, though. I mean, like Minnesota, we've got really stupid gun laws, and they're trying to make it worse.
But I mean,
it'd be difficult to get it through on a federal level today.
But see, that's what I was talking about earlier, is that, okay. I'm not saying Minnesota people gave up their guns, but with the laws that you're saying that picketing, cherry picking certain things, Minnesota almost seems gunless with the Somalis coming in and all these Muslims coming in through Minnesota and getting elected and changing laws and stuff like that. And it's almost another, it really doesn't remind you.
We're
really
living in a transitional. America,
right? Yeah. What he said right there. Go ahead, Jason.
We're living in a transitional time. I mean, we are, people don't see, we are living in the time that our founders warned us about. We're living in the time that they said, don't do these things. Don't give up your guns. Your guns were to protect from a tyrannical government.
Right.
We are establishing a tyrannical government. The federal government, if you would have went back to the founding fathers and said, however many years later, the biggest entity in the world is the U.S. federal government, they would have packed up and said, we aren't even doing this.
Think about this when you say that. Remember all the tyrannical Nazi stuff that the states and the counties did during COVID. Not the federal government.
Right.
All the government. Christy Noem did it just like Ron DeSantis did it, just like they all did it.
And in Minnesota, they literally just got 51% and they went bananas. I mean, if you look, and like I brought it up on the show, but we now feed every kid in Minnesota in the schools breakfast and lunch.
We do too. It's sickening.
And the Minnesota, and if you say, well, that's stupid, shouldn't parents be responsible for feeding their kids breakfast and lunch instead of the government? They attack you like, why do you want kids to starve?
You're a right-wing extremist.
Yeah, like there's this huge population out there of people that can't manage their life enough to feed their kids breakfast and lunch. And they can't. And I'm not saying like you don't need some charity or we've all been poor and we were on the reduced lunch program. But I'm like, think of how communist that is, that you are reliant on the government to feed your child breakfast and lunch. And people don't even blink about that. And there's half the
population. No, it's like it's normal. It's right. Like it's normal. I went to a school that didn't have a cafeteria.
Right.
Really?
Didn't have one. I walked home for lunch.
Yep.
You were on your own. Your parents either gave you a dollar and you went up the street, or you had packed lunch, or you went home for lunch.
Right.
Everybody did.
We had a cafeteria in the early 70s.
I went to a different school after that that had one. Mm-hmm. That was a bigger school, a middle school. And I loved that cafeteria, man.
Yeah.
And I got those lunch tickets like you're talking about, Jason. I had to pay $40 or however much I had to pay. I had to pay for them.
Right. And
they were half price. Just like my food stamps were.
Let me hit on a couple of headlines and see what my people are saying about it right now. The president of the United States is challenging the retirement norms. He's rethinking age 65 as retirement age. I'm not talking about Biden. I'm talking about Larry Fink, BlackRock CEO. Yeah, I am.
I'm gonna start. That's all about.
Yep. Hey, how old are you right now? Are you 65?
62.
I'm 10 years away. You're 3 years away.
I'm getting some Social Security now, though.
Are you really?
Because my job, you had to retire at 60. I couldn't last until, you can't be in the Army past 60. They're changing it all now. They're ruining it now. But
right.
When I retired, that was the rule. So I get a little bit from the Social Security before I hit my age, except I don't. I'll talk to you about that some other day.
There we go. But yeah, I'm the president of the United States, Larry Fink, BlackRock.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
I got to say it, man. I mean, from after what I learned last week and stuff, that's how I refer to whoever is in charge of BlackRock is president of the United States. And Larry Fink, when I first started, why is he saying,
I can tell you why. Because he's a billionaire.
Right.
And he's speaking for billionaires. And billionaires do not want to pay taxes. They do not want to pay their fair share of taxes. And the Republican Party for 50 years protected that. And they kept telling you they want to increase the age of Social Security. They want to increase the age for Medicare, the restrictions on Medicare, so they can save money so they don't have to pay their taxes that they owe. And, you know, I know it sounds like a Democrat talking point to say that. but people really, it ought to be like tithing. If you're making billions of dollars off of U.S. consumers, you got to pony up some of that for the highways, man. I mean, and that might sound like Elizabeth Warren, but it's reality. They're protecting the billionaires, and they're doing it on the backs of Social Security recipients.
I think two things can be true at once. I think billionaires have found a way to game the tax system because they put their money in assets instead of in income, and then they get out of paying taxes. Even if we fix that, it doesn't solve the Social Security problem. Social Security is completely, utterly effed. It's screwed. We're just kicking the can. And the problem was, when it started, it was a good intention. Let's help widowers. It's changed a bunch over the years. But where it is right now, just to put numbers to it, if we didn't collect a dollar more of Social Security tax, and we don't collect enough every year to pay for what's going out every year, Social Security would be bankrupt in 2 years, a little over 2 years.
But you're missing one very important thing when you make that analogy. That is that the United States Congress stole the money that was in trust fund. There was money from way back when Social Security started.
I was going to say, Todd and I did an entire hour and a half breakdown of the history of Social Security from the initial recipient that paid in $25 and got paid out $3,800. So there's plenty of blame. This is not, they did this wrong. They did that wrong. They
stole it.
They stole it. Right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, where we're sitting today, we have 2 years worth of Social Security money set aside. That's it. So we're
I thought it was an
instant. Yeah, I thought it was John. Yeah.
No. There's, if you look on the books, they have about 2.25 years. It's on the Social Security website.
Okay, we'll do this.
They don't collect any taxes. So these numbers about the fund going broke, as they're saying, we're collecting, and I'm just going to throw out numbers, $2 billion. We're spending $2.5 billion. So every year, that little bit of savings goes down half a billion. More people collect, less people pay in.
And now the immigrants are here, and they're going to get it.
And now the immigrants are here, and they're going in. The most aggressive projection is 5 years. The least aggressive projection is 13 years, that gap kicks in. But the big thing why American citizens don't understand it, and everybody gets lost in the weeds about what happened in 1968, there's a bunch of changes. In the 80s, there's changes. In the 90s, but where we're at right now today, Hutch's check is paid for by his son. That's the bottom line. My check, when I am paying still, because I'm still working, I am paying Hutch's check. I'm not paying my check. I'm not putting my money aside. I'm looking at my son going, dude, you better keep working because you're paying my Social Security.
That's here's the thing. It was solvent until they stole the money. Yes, it was. It was gaining interest, and it would have made up the difference. Now, we might have had to change the age, but that money doesn't just go away.
It was a Ponzi scheme from day one, Hutch.
No, they had a trust fund.
They had a trust fund, but the trust fund didn't cover what they told you it was covering. They treat it like mentally, like it's a 401k, your money set aside. And yes,
that's not what I'm saying. You look at all the people that put, like, for instance, myself, or actually my father would be a better example than myself. He put money in there, and everybody else put money in there, and it went into a fund that earned interest.
Yes,
now, once you steal it, then it comes into play what you just said, that my son's paying mine. But that didn't have to be that way.
No, that's how it was set up. Look up what the Social Security recipient.
I'm saying the Social Security payments right now go into the general fund of the Treasury.
What?
The Social Security payments right now go into the general fund of the Treasury. There didn't used to be that. It used to be its own. I remember watching Al Gore talking about it at the debates about the lockbox.
Lockbox, yeah.
You know, and it was already gone by the time he said.
Answer me this question, Hutch. The first lady that received Social Security, how much did she pay in?
Probably zero.
She paid in like...
Her husband paid it in.
I'll have to look it up, like $100 or $50. And she got out $10,000. that 10,000 or whatever the number was, I'd have to look it up, started the Ponzi scheme from the very first recipient.
So there was never an account.
Never an account like you were sold. They saved more in the Social Security fund. So it was a greater savings, but it was always a Ponzi scheme from day one. Somebody else was paying your benefits. Your benefits never paid your
benefits. They didn't have 300 million accounts. I knew that.
Right. Yeah. So,
but you're saying that Roosevelt knew it was a Ponzi scheme from beginning is what you're saying.
Yeah. If you go in and I'll have to look up what the first lady is. It was originally set up for like war widows. And it was a very small group of people that were going to receive Social Security. And then like the first recipient, you can Google it. She didn't hardly pay anything in and she got a bunch out. That was how it was set up.
Yeah.
And
but then, it was set up for the man. It was set, you're right. It was set up for widows.
Right.
But her husband paid in.
Not the first recipient, no.
Maybe not the very first recipient, but that was the idea. It was to take care of women because women didn't used to work in our society.
Right. And then as time evolved, especially during FDR, you went through this period in the 40s and the 60s and even in the 90s where they kept expanding the number of people that received Social Security. What you're talking about with the whole lockbox discussion, they did change how much and how they allocated the money. But it was already in trouble then. It's just they were saving more money and they weren't increasing the benefits. And so you can't have this program where you pay out to people that never paid in. And now we're at a critical point because literally there's just a two-year cushion. You know, if you think about your own monetary account, if you have to dip into your savings every month to pay your bills, and you go, okay, I'm dipping in $500 a month. I've got $5,000 saved in 10 months. I'm out of savings. That's where we're at with Social Security.
Now, with you talking about this woman that you're talking about, but you're talking about the first woman, but Roosevelt didn't do it for just one woman, right?
Oh, no.
Okay. So it says here that the major goal, this is by the government, y'all, was to provide for the general welfare, which is the Constitution, by establishing a system of federal old age benefits.
Yep.
And by enabling the several states to make a more adequate provision for aged persons, blind people, dependent and crippled children, maternal and child welfare, public health administration. But you keep talking about the one woman. Or the first woman. You keep talking about the first woman.
I'm saying that's because how the system got out.
Right. And what she got out. But
a lot of people die and never get a benefit.
Right. Both of y'all are talking about the Social Security, but where does disability fall in? Because you see young people today that aren't working that are getting disability.
They come out of the Social Security fund.
Social Security Disability Fund.
Well,
I'll tell you what, both of my parents paid into Social Security their entire lives and neither one of them got a dollar out of it.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Well, so it's just balanced things there. It's not all just one cut dry thing. We should have never done it. The only way to fix Social Security is to pick a year. Is it 1965? Anybody after 1965, if you're born after 1965, you get nothing. And you got to keep paying until you're this age and you're still going to get nothing. That's the only way you're going to end it.
Correct.
Well, I mean, the way that I have looked at it over the past few years is this. There's no money. Yeah, I know it's money, a little bit of money in there somewhere.
Right.
But to me, there's no money in there. There's no money in Social Security because and so when you hear the politician say, we need to protect Social Security, we need to protect.
That's just a political thing. That's politics for stupid people.
Exactly. Every time when I hear them say that, I'm like, okay, so basically what you're trying to do, you're trying to protect the system so that you can continue to take money from the American people.
Let me drop a truth bomb too. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You are protecting the word. You aren't protecting the process. You're protecting the word Social Security more than you are, because again, they are raiding Social Security for their own means.
Well, they're using it to buy votes, is ultimately. If you look, it was originally
to protect the billionaires' assets.
Right, yeah. I mean, originally started in like the 30s, like 37 or 38, and it was set up to protect women, like Hutch said, and it protect widowers. It was very narrow.
You know, the reason I said women is just because those are the people that live longer. Right. Men used to die at 35, 40 years old.
Right,
they
just, yeah.
They happen to be the last ones standing.
And I mean, people don't know when it started. Like 2% of the population qualified for Social Security. Right. And then in the 50s and 60s, they said, oh, we should expand this. Let's give more money to more people. And then you get to the 80s and 90s. And now it's become universal where everybody gets Social Security.
Back in the 70s, I went to school with a guy. I was in eighth grade. And Derek got $300 a month from Social Security because his father died when he was young.
Right.
Him, an eighth grader, got right. $300 a month.
Yeah, and I mean, people even say, you know, we shouldn't be sending money to Ukraine or that kind of thing. Social Security is, like, there's legislation passed about it. It's its own thing, and it's been a Ponzi scheme from the start. And actually, Republicans in, like, the 50s and 60s encouraged people to expand coverage because they figured out, you tell old people we're going to give you more money, they'll vote for you. And but now we're reaching, you know, it's kind of like that dude, you know, that lives on his credit card. You know, he way lives beyond his means and he just keeps running on a credit card and then he gets another credit card. That's where Social Security is going to hit is. And these young people that are talking about it, they don't realize if you're 25 right now, your next 60 years or however long you work, or 40 years, if you work till the age of 65, all that money you're paying is paying other recipients' benefits. And you're not having kids. And you're counting on those kids to pay your bills.
And we're killing our kids.
Right.
We're aborting them and turning them gay.
Yep.
I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. And if you spent your entire life and you counted on the government to take care of your retirement, you're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to suffer. I know that hurts. But look at what who does that? Don't do that.
Right.
You got to put some money away. 10% every pay. Put it away.
Yep.
Learn to live without it.
I talked about sacrificing. And I was talking to another person the other day when I was interviewing them about how our generation before the last one, they sacrificed. They did. And they looked toward America. They looked forward to, family was up there, but well, it was family and then country. But for the most part, they believed in country. That's something that, and I know it hurts to say, that's something that has been lost with Americans over the past 20, 30, past 40 years is love of country. So when you sacrifice for the country, your lives are better. It's just true. Your lives are better. Because I'm not saying it was communism, collective like type, but when everybody's goal was toward the same about trying to work for a better future, everybody should be in the same boat and all our ships should sail in the same direction. But now what you have now is you're looking at people trying to get that the fastest, quickest buck. Social Security is being raided. Jay talks about the $1 trillion. They're spending a freaking between a trillion and a trillion and a half every 6 months. Y'all thought I was going to say a year. Every 6 months. Or they're saying that they're spending a trillion. Let's be real. You can't spend a trillion.
And that's Republicans.
Yeah, you can't spend a trillion. You can't.
Yeah, actually.
I can't believe these people when they come up. I swear, I think I said this yesterday, but I got on there and I watched Senator Tom Cotton talking about how bad the immigration situation was and how terrible it was for our citizens, and he just got done paying for it. That just irks me to no end. These people lie.
Well, Juanita Merrill with the quote of the day, love my country, hate my government. Folks, at some point you're going to realize that the government, the rich and powerful control your government, and they protect the rich and powerful.
And it's not just the government. It's oligarchy. Right. It's all these corporations. President Fink is a good example.
Yep.
They're all being played. They're freaking trailer park people. No offense, Jay. But they're being played. You wave a $100 bill in front of their nose and they'll jump off the cliff.
Yeah.
Well, and what's interesting too is this transition that we've had as a country. And I'll use myself as an example. Jen's dad was old, and it was our job as his kid and me as her husband to take care of him. So we helped support him financially when he needed. We helped take care of his needs when he couldn't through memory care. And our children, we have our first grandchildren we're expecting. We are going to help them financially, make sure they have what they need. And we are going to help them watch the kids so they can work. And that's our responsibility as individuals. We had kids. And now we hope that when we get old, those kids help take care of us and help mow our lawn.
That's where we hope.
Stuff. Yeah. But we've lost that as a country where too many people would look at our kids and say, okay, you're expecting a child. What government program do you need? You need no government program. You need a goddamn parent. You need a parent that's going to be there and say, hey, I'm going to help you out. You know,
You need parents.
Yeah. Parents, and, right.
And that's something that has been lost too, because most people don't know how to parent anymore.
Right. They want to be their best friend. My own kids.
Best friend. Their best friend, yeah.
Well, my son doesn't do it, but my daughter does it.
Yeah, I tried
to do it. My son knocked that boy out.
Yeah, I tried to do it with my dad too. I called him his first name a while back, and I never did that afterwards. So he didn't beat me or anything. He didn't whip me. He just put the fear of God in me. Don't do it again. You know, I'm your dad.
But that's what I mean. We've created this. Instead of this individual responsibility where you have responsibility for your kids and your family and taking care of those people, we're trying to offload this onto the government. Even with Social Security, I mean, my wife and I are looking at, like, if there's any money there, great. That'll be spending money or traveling money. We need to take care of ourselves because the government is not going to. So we need to put money in our 401k or in our investments. Yeah. I've got to pay for my retirement. I should not count on the government.
And that's what that's the way it should be.
Right.
That's but what I do too.
The government sold people, like Harry Ash earlier in the comments said he's been paying in for 52 years. He has, and the government promised you that if you do that, when you retire, we'll take care of you. And the government lied to you.
Yeah, that doesn't work with math though.
Right.
You know, math is a
terrible thing.
Yeah, emotions are something. I'll tell you, you got a problem. One of the reasons that you were talking about the family, Wayne, is the awfuls. The awfuls in this country are killing us. That's the affluent, white, feminine liberals, female liberals. Awful. Even James Carville called them out. All these preachy women running the Democrat Party. It's a joke. You know, even, and it's not just females. I saw Senator Warnock from Georgia today said the only way that Israel can defeat Hamas is with love. Okay, Warnock.
That sounds like what Hillary Clinton and what's the Indian, the former Elizabeth Warren,
Karen Pocahontas. Yeah,
they felt like that we could give them a hug. Remember that? We could give them a hug. ISIS back in the day.
Some of these people need to watch the History Channel.
But the thing is that they're not worried about defeating it. They don't want to defeat them. That's the whole thing. That's the trick that we keep getting tricked with. All they're trying to do is continue the potential for forever small wars, because the goal is not to win. The goal is to shoot as many shells as you can, so we have to buy new ones. That's the goal. The goal is to blow all the Patriot missile systems up because they cost millions of dollars each and somebody's getting paid.
I'm just going to say, too, for these white liberals, they are now the whatever generation that has lived in complete security. Their United States was never in danger of being taken over. They don't understand that the world is populated with people that want to steal your stuff. I caught myself.
And cut your throat.
And people want to steal your stuff. And I mean, look at while these wars happen around the world, they see your stuff and they're like, I want to go take your stuff.
Yep.
And into these liberals, they never conceptualize that. That in history, that's usually what either religion or I want to take your stuff. And they don't understand that someday somebody's going to come to take our stuff in America.
I saw a really good meme that describes all this.
Is it?
God created man and woman. Democrats created all the rest.
You're right.
Yeah. You said affluent what? Affluent white?
Awful. Affluent white female liberals.
Affluent white female liberals. Gotcha. Yeah.
And it really shouldn't be liberals. It should be leftists. Because liberals just want less of everything, and that's where we should be. That's actually what a conservative is liberal.
Actually, it's too bad that
they liberal the language once again.
It's too bad that liberal has been so bastardized because liberal philosophies were really, really good in some cases.
Well, I mean, honestly, yeah, we talk about the conservative platform, but is being liberal, I don't make it sound that bad because many people are liberal too. Many people are liberal. I mean,
the ones that are out there now are anti-liberal, the Democrats.
Right.
Because liberal is live and let live. Democrats are you will do it this way.
Right, right.
And that's where it's gone. I mean, the whole thing was set up like conservatives say keep our rules and laws and social norms the same. Liberals say, well, I want to go push the envelope on this. Conservatives say, okay, just don't make me.
Don't go too far.
Don't go too far and don't make me do that. Okay, great. Well, now liberals have turned into not only do I get to go do my weird stuff, but you have to too.
And so do your 3-year-old. How's your 3-year-old kid?
And you have to act like it's good or normal or appropriate.
Now you said liberals turned into, but I think they branched off into that because some conservatives have moved over into the liberal column. Okay. Some conservative, I remember when I joined or when I left the Democrat Party, I'm hearing some conservatives say, I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm socially liberal. I'm like, how in the hell can you be both of those things? You know, liberal, conservative. Well,
they did what they always do. They trick the language up.
Yeah.
They used liberal as a cover to be leftist. And it worked. It worked like a champ.
Yeah. Well, I will say I used to identify like that because I thought the Democrats were less corrupt than the Republicans. And like, frankly, like gay marriage, I see now I was wrong because it's just leads you down a slippery slope. But gay marriage on its own is not that awful.
The word gay on its own is wrong.
Right.
It's homosexual.
But what I'm saying is
I'm not blaming you, dude. I'm not blaming you. I'm saying
if gay people wanted to get married, I didn't have a moral objection to it. But now I see where it just like they didn't stop. You know what I mean?
Hey man, it's true. It's true. You know, that's the thing. Like I could be liberal. I could say, look, you do whatever you want to do. You're a grown man, grown woman. That's fine. Don't do it in my front yard.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's not now they're forcing me to at the library.
Yeah. Right. Look, I can be liberal too. Cause I was a Democrat. I know. There are certain things that I like to do. Okay. Conservative liberal type. Okay. I mean, I'm not way over on the other side. I'm not even on the other side. I'm on this side where I understand, I can hang out with my friends and be crazy. You know, we can drink and get punched drunk if we want to and roll. Because conservative people don't get crazy. They don't get crazy.
Okay. Well, conservative.
Right. Liberals get crazy. Radical liberals gets insane. Okay. So when I say that I can be liberal in the way, you know, and in, as a parent, you have to be liberal to a certain point because you can't force things on your children. You have to be, you know, you have to say, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to say you do it that way, but I'm still going to love you because you're my kid. You know, I'm just saying
that's where the liberal world's words gone wrong and where I was wrong with some of those beliefs. And I use this example, but as a kid, I listened to heavy metal music. I was in the eighth row at a Motley Crue concert screaming "Shout at the Devil." Tipper Gore and the conservative movement was trying to get that censored with the sticker on my cassettes. And I'm like, that's free speech. You can't do that. And so as a liberal viewpoint, I thought, no, Motley Crue should be able to say, I wore my Shout at the Devil shirt to school. They made me put it inside out because you can't wear Shout at the Devil at school. And I used to think it, well, why not? Like, what's the problem? I now see why the problem was that just took us down Pandora's box. And it's like safe, legal, and rare for abortion. I could live with that. I thought that was an acceptable compromise. But once we did that, now it's like, let's celebrate our 25th abortion and it's birth control. And that's why you got to pick where you're going to draw the line and don't give another inch.
You know what? I use the word liberal and Juanita, you're right. You teach your kids to be independent, not really liberal. You teach them to be independent so that, and that's one thing. If I leave this world tomorrow, I can't feel anything, but I hope that I would have taught my kids that I didn't force them to do anything. I didn't force them to accept certain things. If they do certain things based on what they've seen me or heard me talk about and whatnot, it's a win because I've tried to teach them or bring them up in the right way. But
that works, by the way.
It does work.
You'll find that out in about 10 years.
Yeah, once they get older, they start.
When they're talking to you as an adult and they tell you, damn, Dad, you said that back in 97 or whatever year. And man, I lived forever on that.
Right.
It stuns you because I thought, man, these kids ain't listening to nothing
I'm saying. Yep.
Well, even like once they start getting out on their own paying bills, like my blue haired liberal stepdaughter, like she's like, why are we paying all these illegal immigrants? And I'm like, 5 years ago, you called me a racist for saying that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Having a son is what, my first son is what changed me to Republican.
Okay.
Back in the day, you know, when he was little, it's like, wait, this ain't right. Oh.
What if you're a homosexual liberal from Martha's Vineyard?
Probably not Haitian.
Hand grenades? Real quick, the Russians, we were talking about the Russian attack the last couple of days, and we kind of gave props to Putin. And I know that might piss people off, kind of gave props a little bit because, I mean, honestly, if he wanted to end things, he could. But he came out yesterday and said that on the early reporting, and they get to their, they get from point A to point B probably faster than anybody. I mean, if you look at those people that got beat up, but he said the UK, Ukraine, and the United States was responsible, were in cahoots with.
I said that yesterday. The FSB came out and said that. Yeah.
Well, Bloomberg came out and did a story and said Putin doesn't believe that the United States, it was Ukraine. And the Russian government came out and said, that's fake news.
That is fake news.
It's fake news. And
let's go by the hypersonic missile they launched.
Right. And the way that the media has been pushing it, the media is also coming out basically trying to push the Americans in the mindset that it was not Ukraine.
Victoria Nuland Bridge.
Russian officials are saying that the United States defended Kyiv too quickly after the attack. And if you look at it, it was almost like the response from the ship hitting the bridge. Biden administration came out. No, it wasn't Ukraine.
They're not good at it anymore. That's what I'm saying, man. This whole house of cards is falling apart, man.
Yeah.
The whole thing's falling apart. Five minutes. I mean, you hear him say something. The FBI comes out and said there was no terrorism. So there was definitely terrorism. That's what they did to themselves with this, right, with this witch hunt. That's what they have done to themselves. I believe nothing that comes out of there.
I don't either.
I got to say, thank God for President Trump.
Yes. Or
we probably wouldn't all feel that way. You know, I mean, and people on the left will say, like, oh, he's destroyed. He's destroyed, you know, support of our institutions. And it's like, no, they did it. We just didn't quite realize it. You know what I mean?
And I don't even think they know it yet.
Right.
I mean, they have to know it. They hear people like us. Who are we? You know what I mean? There's people all across this
country. Stones in their shoe. That's who we are.
That's exactly right.
We're stones in their shoe, you know. Whenever they put this shoe on, they get the Dupree Hutch and J. Rob Stone. And then we get suppressed for a few weeks or a few years so that people don't hear what we have to say. The actions of the Ukrainian regime would not go unpunished, says Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Maria Sakharova. I know I said her name wrong.
However you pronounce it.
It's good.
She's been there for a long time, though. She's been there for a long time. I remember I remember seeing her the first time when Donald Trump was president. People were asking her about Russia and Putin and certain things, and she was like, it was so funny. And YouTube took my channel because I posted her video.
She said, you had a newspaper.
Oh, no, that's print.
I was like, was he got a newspaper?
That's
Wait,
print.
Time to the Epoch Times.
He's got the Baltimore Sun.
I love old.
Right. Now, she was like, did fake news, did CNN come up with fake news? And I was like, she's using it fake news too. Over there in Russia, she, you know, it's President Trump's fake news thing is now being used by people in Russia. Next thing you know, YouTube took down my channel. YouTube took down my channel two times. One time was almost at 100,000. They took it down because I played something by John Stewart. CBS took it down. And then it was up to about 70-some thousand the second time going up. And I went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. I posted something up on YouTube, went to bed at 2 o'clock, woke up at 5 o'clock, gone. The whole channel gone. Just that, like that. I was like, I won't do it again. So, but even though we're broadcasting on YouTube right now, I don't promote YouTube. Plus, they stole money from us. They stole donations from us too. Took more than half of what we had made.
Yeah, I think it's 60%.
That's back when we were struggling.
Yeah, man, I just knew. Look, I told my guy, we're about to get $800, $900 next month, boy. All right, we'll split it up and do it. All of a sudden, when the check thing came, like 300 and something, I said, whoa, what?
Yeah, because you could see your total.
What the heck?
Okay, that was that super chat, right, or whatever it was.
Yeah. Look, I told the guys, we came on next channel, don't send no more money.
Yeah.
Through YouTube. Don't do it. Because it was weird. Because it's like, wait a minute. They're making billions of dollars. Google is making billions of dollars. And even though I was going to save this for last, we're getting ready to get to final thoughts. Don't take this wrong, y'all. I got to say it. President Trump, I support you, man. I do. I support you. I want you to be president of the United States in a couple months. I want you to go in and run roughshod over the crap that's going on and everything. I just ain't buying no Bible for $60. I'm not doing it, homie. You know, I no. I mean, I can go to a hotel and get one cheap, but I am not buying a Bible for $60. I don't care who wrote it, okay, or signed it. Now, if Jesus signed it, we're talking a little something different. But I ain't buying no Bible for $60. As a matter of fact, your newfound wealth, you should be handing that out. But congratulations.
Handing it out to New York.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, really soon. Congratulations on, and I hope things continue. I hope that the what's it called, the evaluation and stuff doesn't, you know, whatever. I'm not going to speak anything to existence, so that's why I'm not going to finish that. But congratulations on what you're doing. Last thoughts, J. Rob and Hutch, and we're going to move on.
Well, you know, so I just want to give a shout out to my wife. I have the best wife in the world. And it was funny. She got home yesterday when she left.
Wait a minute.
What?
I love when you do that because I'm like, now I'm like, they must be fighting with
No. No, things are great.
Okay. All right.
Things are great. She's going to help me with a house project tonight when she gets home. But no.
There we go.
Yeah. But no, so yesterday when she left, we were talking bridge stuff. And I'm like, okay, honey, just for once, I hope this is just what it appears. Just some accent. It isn't all stupid. And we hadn't talked about it all day. And she's like, so what did you discover? And I said, well, the first thing was the government came out and said there was nothing. She's like, oh, great. Then the government came out and said that they were going to pay for it. Why doesn't the shipping company pay for it? She says. I'm like, yeah. And then guess where the pilot was from or the captain? And she goes, oh, let me guess, Ukraine. I'm like, yep.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
And then we're going through, and I said, okay, and the ship was named the White, or the ship in the Obama movie was named the White Lion, and this ship, its flag is a white lion. I'm like, predictive programming. And I'm like, I wish all this stuff just, I wish just once, like, it wasn't just, like, super easy conspiracy theory stuff, where you're like, all, and then she watched the video with me again, and she's like, how did it take such a hard right turn? I'm like, man, don't bring this up, hon. Like, I just want for once it to be what they say it is. Mm-hmm. So that's why my wife's the greatest, because she's a nut job like me. Like, how come none of this stuff adds up?
So I was going to talk about Ronna McDaniel and why they ousted her. And I think, to me, the reason is because she's an election denier. And they can't have her up there when they start denying the election in November, right, which they're all going to do. That's why they got rid of her and kept Michael Steele and everybody else. But I wanted to address something that Jay was talking about earlier about the Minnesota laws and things like that, that we were talking about. Just remember this, there's no guarantee that the United States of America stays 50 states. People are moving, they're transitioning with their feet. States will become to a point for some people that they refuse to live in them and they leave and move to another state. And that's happening as we speak, and it's only going to accelerate. Nobody wants to live in Pennsylvania or Minnesota right now. Right. Nobody's rushing the borders to get there, or New York, or any of these other Michigan or Illinois or any of these dud places. They're just not doing it. It's going to be a realignment physically, I think. And all we have, all we can do is pray that it's a cold civil war, because we don't want a hot civil war. Go study what happened in Kosovo. You never hear about that. But go study it. It's one of the most brutal acts that ever happened in the last 100 years. Have a great day.
We'll see you tomorrow.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.